The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Legendarium podcast. I have no idea what episode number this is, but I do know that the topic for today is The Lost Metal, Book 4, in Era 2 of Brandon Sanderson's Mistborn series. Yeah, it's a whole thing. So we're going to be talking The Lost Metal, and yes, we will be spoiling things as necessary. So we will assume that you have read the book before you listen to this episode. If you haven't, then please go do so, or just know that you've been warned. Okay, I am your host, Craig Hanks, and well, I put him in a corner because, frankly, he's old enough for it now. It's Todd Wente.
Nobody puts bit.
Never mind. Yeah. Never mind.
No one has ever called you baby.
Well,
except from your mother.
One person once.
And I went back and listened to a previous episode in which he actually said something smart. So I figured, yeah, we can keep him around for a little longer. It's Ken Johnson.
That was an anomaly. I hope you wrote it down, though. It doesn't happen often.
It's a word that could apply to you just generally, Ken. So
I bet it was the sixth of the dust episode.
It was. I will not reveal.
Okay.
And, you know, he is, I would call him a shining light on this podcast. We just need to stop pointing him toward the horror show that is Ken Johnson. It's Wait. Ryan Bruckman.
Hey, my insult was more of a compliment than backhanded you.
I got a double whammy.
Yeah.
That's nice. Really well done.
I'm just excited. Really well done. I'm excited to have it's like getting the band back together, right? So I'm excited to have everybody here.
Backstreet's back, all right.
Oh, boy. I was thinking
I'm
the Eagles.
I'm a little less excited now than I was a moment ago. But
well, that's our age difference there.
There you go.
All right. The Lost Metal. What's the housekeeping stuff that I'm supposed to do? Go to thelegendarium.com, Patreon, Discord, episodes, all the stuff. There's stuff there.
Conversation. So,
thelegendarium.com. Okay.
Whew. All right, that's pay over. Money. Love the show. Thanks.
Pay us money if you want. You don't have to.
You know, the first thing to go is your memory there.
Man, tell me about it. Who are you?
Exactly.
Right. Okay, guys. The Lost Metal, like I said, book 4 in Era 2. I had a real sense of... satisfaction when I got to the end of this one, because it doesn't say the end of, the book. It doesn't just say the end. It says the end of Mistborn Era 2. And that felt nice, especially because when did the third book come out? Maybe like 6 years ago or something like that.
It's been a while.
It's a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute. So anyway, it's nice to get back into Mistborn. Ken, yeah. Do you have a recap for us?
Oh, so much recapping going on here.
I'm excited.
Yeah, buckle up. 6 years have now passed since the last vestments of the Lord Ruler pulled our heroes' butts out of the fire, or snow, as it were. I think that was how long it was since the last book came out, too. And we learned that Scadrial is a whole lot bigger than we first realized, and my, how things have progressed. Cars and electricity everywhere, even in the roughs. Marcy and Wayne have become the big law dogs in town, chasing down leads on Trell and the Set and making smart investments, while Wax plays the role of senator domesticated family man, only wearing his guns when needed to whip boats. And this is the book where we finally, hopefully, after three books, get into answers about this mysterious Trell who makes even the gods tremble. Oh, he's just a Scadrian myth being used as an avatar for autonomy to pull Telson's strings, imbued with a share of autonomy's power. Well, that's actually kind of anticlimactic. But it comes with a much bigger cosmic implications. Autonomy has been doing this on many planets throughout the Cosmere, dishing out shares of her power, roping in poor automatons.
Keep trying.
Automatons. Suckers like some cosmic shard pyramid scheme who, in great irony, take control of systems all as a shadow puppet to autonomy. Well, that's the
Did
way
you
it
just
goes
make
sometimes.
Autonomy Bernie Madoff?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. And right now, Autonomy is the latest shard to have her eye on Scadrial for reasons as yet unknown, but clearly the magic systems on Scadrial are officially the coolest system in the Cosmere because the shards are lining up to break the 10th commandment. If you don't know, look it up.
No, I'm good.
Craig doesn't know.
That's fine.
All right. This time it's different, though, because the set has gone nuclear by fissioning Harmonium into its base parts, and Telson is ready to prove her worthiness to Autonomy by way of Harmonium bombing Elendil out of existence, and the set is infiltrated everywhere to make it happen, Bilming, the Elendil Senate, heck, probably even the Southern Skadrians. It's so troubling that it even draws hands-on attention from some of the friends on other worlds. They have a vested interest in Skadrial not blowing up since, you know, it's Kelsier's home. And he's back. It's cool, too. And also a recruiting trip of sorts, because the Ghostbloods are very interested in what Morrissey has to offer. At the end, they find the bomb already on its way to Elendil. Wax and Wayne go to it. But the only way to stop the bomb is to blow it up before it reaches the target. Fortunately, as it turns out, Waxillium isn't the only twin-born Harmony was cultivating all those years ago in the Roughs. And when the time comes, good old Wayne answers the call. I get a little bit misty at this part. I didn't expect you, but I did. I actually got a misty in that part, too.
Which part?
The part where Wayne becomes the first, I'm going to keep going now, becomes the first full Mistborn in ages and sacrifices himself in the most noble of ways and in one of the few true moments that made me a little bit misty, as I just said. Turns out that Wayne doesn't have a last name because Wayne really is his last name. He's two steps away from becoming Batman. All that is missing is changing Vendel's name to Alfred and him showing up with Anne Hathaway at some French cafe.
I just wanted to point out to you other guys that this is still going on, that this recap is still happening.
Okay. I think it's the first recap that he's done actually complete.
The
last couple of ones that he's done for us when he shows up and he's like, I got nothing, guys. I'm just going to wing this.
All right, Alfred, keep going.
Whatever. Okay, in the end, Morrissey stays on Scadrial with aspirations to become the governor one day. Waxillium and Steris, they go on to prepare for the impending war with the Southern Skadrians that we'll probably never see. And says it is one step closer to going full on nuts on a scale. These are questions for you. On a scale of 1 to, I don't know, by the second Allomancer Jack reference, how much did you expect him to appear and how disappointed were you when he didn't? That's for you, Ryan.
Okay.
Who drained the bands of mourning? And this isn't a question, but we are 100% getting Metalborn sports in Era 3, and I'm so excited about it.
That was one of the best.
Noseball.
Oh man. Yeah.
Those little side things there. Wayne's fortune and how he keeps trying to spend it and ends up making himself richer.
Oh, I'm so excited about
that.
Which I had
that problem.
And in parting, ain't no fellow who regretted giving it to one extra shake, but you can bet every guy has regretted not giving it one too many, or giving it one too few. Yeah, there we go. The end.
Okay, wow.
Of the recap
that
of
was,
Era
that
2.
That was a significant recap, Ken. Yes,
there was significant stuff that happened in this book, and funny enough, the plot itself was... I thought the plot itself was kind of basic, but the implications for the Cosmere itself were huge in this book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, we're definitely going to talk about all the Cosmere stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe we back into that by first talking about what Ken just said, which is the basic plot. I think that's fair. It's a story about a bomb. We got to stop the bomb.
And boy finds bomb.
Yeah.
There you go.
Boy accidentally creates nuclear fission.
Ryan, thoughts on the actual plot? Was it satisfying? Was it disappointing?
Very recognizable at the beginning. Because as soon as we get to the sequence where they do the scientific experiment where Wax tries to separate Harmonium with Trellium, and ends up doing this, and we're like, boom, like, oh, hello, nuclear. Hello. Yeah. We now have nuclear power in the Cosmere. This is how this happens. And that means there's going to be a giant bomb with this by the end that we're going to have to stop somehow, mm-hmm. or more than likely, the third Batman movie, fly it off into the distance and let it have its moment.
Don't get me started.
Or the first of the Avengers films or any, you know, we got plenty of other examples of big bomb that has to be moved elsewhere to save everyone else.
Right. Or else when.
So I saw this, I'm like, okay, I recognize this plot line. What's going to be unique about it? What's going to be, you know, what's going to make me excited about this one? And honestly, I was fine with it. I wasn't blown away with the bomb plot line. Mm-hmm. It was cool.
Yeah.
But
you weren't. I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
I heard it too.
Todd got it.
I caught it. Okay, all right. I caught it.
You weren't blown away by the bomb plot line?
No. 100% unintentional.
It tells you how late it is in the night, doesn't it?
Well, or just how little I'm paying attention to what I'm saying, which means we're going to get a real ringer to singer at some point.
This is going to be the best episode ever.
Nah, I don't think so.
Reminiscent of the late nights that we spent up in Ryan's upper room when we were doing this in the early days.
It was so hot. You know, that's actually, I was thinking about that earlier today, that we've been doing this podcast long enough that we've been doing it since about Alloy of Law-ish, you know, more or less. Like, that's, we've been at it for a little while, guys. It's, this is a little crazy that we're still podcasting. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, we went from 8 people down to 6 people listening, but hey, at least somebody's listening.
So. And Sweden, and the Swedish prison system. Well, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, they started getting NPR. They're not using us as much.
All right. So, wow. Was that a dig at NPR from Ryan James Bruckman?
Yeah. I'm just glad we come ahead of NPR in something.
Wow. Okay. All right. Of all the people on this panel, I would expect that you would have the least.
I went for the most recognizable podcast setup I could. It had nothing to do with NPR itself. It was just what's one that everybody will get. I wasn't going to throw Joe Rogan or one of the other ones in there.
Wow. Wow.
And in true Legendarium fashion, we have derailed.
Hard derail.
Didn't take long.
This is why the four of us don't get in a room together.
Should we have 12 minutes? Who had 12 minutes?
Oh, well, you think we made it 12? About 12. Okay. Let's just go straight to Discord questions. Okay. They're going to get us back on track. And then.
Sure they are.
If we miss anything that's in your guys' notes, then we'll come back to that a little bit later. Jedi of Christ asks, how sad are you? I like to think that he's just checking up on us, you know, generally speaking, but maybe not. Maybe this is more of a...
I appreciate that the check-in, it's appreciated. I was very sad at the end of this. My wife walked in and she saw me weeping as I was listening through the last part of the book, and she's like, no, he didn't. He didn't. Wayne?
Yeah,
but it's so beautiful.
Did it get you?
It did. Oh yeah. Because it's not that he dies, it's how he goes out in the terms and like how he deals with it and his forgiveness of himself earlier on, because of he's been carrying this loathing for himself for so long, that he constantly every month he, you know, puts himself through the ringer again by paying penance when he goes to pay the woman whose father he killed and stuff. And by the time he finishes up and realizes that he is, I can change things, I can do these good things, and I'm a good man still, and goes out on those terms, like that's, it's not so much like, you know, explosions or anything like that I want to go out, but being able to go out at peace with yourself and realizing that is fantastic and beautiful.
When he has the moment with Harmony, mm-hmm. and he says, couldn't you have gotten somebody better?
Yeah.
And Harmony says, there was nobody better.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the drive-thru line at a McDonald's.
Oh boy.
Getting fries. And between the time that it took to place the order and pull up, I am just sobbing. And the woman is like, here's your fries, sir.
I really needed those. I needed them bad.
Thank you. I'll just go over here.
I just have this visual of you like taking your hands up. I'm fine. I'm fine.
I feel like that's a Will Ferrell role.
Yeah. Right? I'm with you. It was a great ending for Wayne.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had my version of that, which was I read it and I was going, oh, Wayne. And that was, you know,
that's
was
pretty
was
emotional like, for you, Ken. That's good, pretty, that's pretty, yeah.
I was like, good job, Wayne. You know, that his line, his conversation, well, there's one-liners with Wax. Who'd you steal the money from? Someone worthless. I'm like, oh, come on, Wayne.
A lot of those.
That was a great
things.
Line.
Yeah.
But you're better. You're okay. And
I mean,
his conversation with Wax, you know, and Wax walking him through all these reasons why Wayne, you got to let it go, and him realizing it, and then his conversation with Harmony. I'm like, I like seeing the progression of that because it's easy when you've done something unforgivable. Not that I have, but if you've done something unforgivable, it's easy to see how you can descend into this point where you can never forgive yourself because it's unforgivable. And to have him realize that, you know, you're not that one moment.
I think it's a very relatable story for most people. We are our worst critics and we are hardest on ourselves.
Yeah.
But I think very few people actually understand their own intrinsic value as a person. And hearing the conversations between Wax and Wayne over that, and Harmony and Wayne, and just all those pieces, like, we can see it. We clearly see it as he's trying to do the right thing, as he's trying to be the good guy and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But for him to come to terms with it himself and accept it, you know, to whatever degree he does, that's, if I hope everyone has a moment where they finally, where they get to see that in
where
themselves.
Where they can have that moment of peace.
We're missing the other half of his journey with regards to the woman he continually pays, right?
Oh,
trying to help her out, he finally was it the conversation he had with Renette, and is it Jaxie? Somebody finally tells him, you're not helping.
Yeah.
You know, and so we're talking a lot about, you know, Wayne trying to come to terms with himself, but sometimes the best way to do that is to get outside of yourself and be considerate of someone else. How are my actions affecting myself? That's an important question, but how are my actions affecting other people? And actually thinking through that is it's the other side of this coin. And the thing that kind of, I think, finally clicks something into place for him that, you know, that he needs to move on.
Well, some of that's the source. Yeah, that conversation you specifically point out, the one from Renette, who has absolutely no reason to coddle him or do anything.
Right.
It's like,
and no real filter either.
Yeah, it's a harsh truth. Like, yeah, you're making it worse by doing this. Everyone. Like, you're
doing it for you. You're not doing it for her.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. You're not making things better for her. You're doing this because you want to feel something about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I've been in some conversations with people where it's like, no, I'm calling you on your stuff right now. This is not accurate. This is not accurate. This is pretty brutal, pretty straightforward. Yeah. But then the part that I loved about that is it's followed up shortly afterwards with his meeting with the accountants. And he's like, well, somebody said that I ought to figure out how to just send some money. Can we just make arrangements to do that? Oh, yes, sir. We'll take care of that immediately, sir.
Moving money? Yeah, we can do that.
That moment, I remember a story where, you know, two guys show up and says, I'm death, I'm taxes. And I just had this image of the two of them being these kind of people. The way that they show up, they disappear, they show up again, and it's like, oh no. And I'm like, oh yeah, oh, that's going to be a fun moment for her.
I am inevitable.
The Wayne storyline was not the one I was expecting to have bought into and felt so much, fell in love with so much. It was beautifully done.
Let me ask you this. At book length, I think it worked. Mm-hmm. You know, Wayne's sacrifice in the end meant more because we had a lot of time with him in this book. Series-wise, did this feel a little bit out of nowhere, Wayne-wise? Or do you think this was an organic continuation for his character?
Oh no, I felt like I was looking forward to Wayne more than Wax.
Yeah.
Wayne is the entertaining one. Wayne is the jokester. Wayne is the, from a meta level, it feels like Brandon saves all of his best jokes for Wayne. Wherever they're going to be in the Cosmere, they all kind of come back to Wayne, and he's the comic relief, not just for Wax, but he kind of feels like the comic relief for the entire Cosmere in some ways. Lopin.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe there's a few, but
I'm constantly thinking of was it W.H. Auden who was reviewing The Return of the King, when it came out in 1955, I think, and 56, whatever it was. And he says, finally, finally, this is Tolkien at his strongest. And he references the Fellowship of the Ring and says, you know, it felt, the beginning felt a little bit interminable. I can't remember the exact language he used, but he said, because Tolkien started the book with light comedy. Light comedy is not Mr. Tolkien's forte. I think about that all the time when I'm reading Brandon, where I'm like, oh boy, this is not... there are exceptions. And I will admit that when we got to the end, there's the statue with the revolving quotes and all that stuff where it's like, oh yeah, I guess I have some affection for this character and his, you know, idiotic quips. But I gotta say, while I'm sad to see the character go, you know, it was an emotional moment and all that, I'm not going to miss him.
Oh man, I am. I am definitely going to miss Wayne.
Ken, are you going to miss Wayne?
A little bit, but I wonder how much we're going to see any of these characters anymore past this, you know. I don't see Marcy, obviously, was the one that was most likely to be a world hopper, which I think I haven't gone back to listen to the episodes. I think we pretty much had that one pegged a while ago that we could see that coming. And I think Wax's story probably ends on Scadrial. Same with Steris. By the way, I love Steris. I'm just going to throw that out there as a
cycle. I like Steris.
But I don't see us seeing many of these characters other than Harmony past
and
this
Hoid.
Book, you know?
Yeah.
Hoid.
He kept showing up. Your carriage, sir.
Yeah. He shows up with a boat. That was my favorite.
Wow. Okay. Well, now we know what it takes to please Todd.
Oh, it doesn't take much at 11 o'clock at night.
No, the Hoid, like, Mike, anytime we read a Cosmere book, there's always the, okay, where's the Hoid thing? And how much is he playing a feature in manipulating the world around what's going on?
Yep.
And I was grateful that this one was just a cameo appearance type thing, that Hoid wasn't pulling strings too much.
Mm, yeah.
It was just, I'm here to make sure you need to finish this story. So my job is to make sure I pick you up and get you here. Like, that's as far as it is. Especially when you already have meddling hands with Kelsier and the Ghostbloods. This book flipped the Ghostbloods on their heads for me.
Yes.
Me too.
Every interaction we've had with them in, Stormlight Archive kind of paints them as this shadowy, dark, bad guy, nefarious group here.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, wait a minute, hold on.
Well,
that's Kelsier's group, and generally I consider them good guys.
Oof.
But I said generally.
Right.
So my view of the Ghostbloods now, I'm doing a reread of Stormlight Archive right now, and the Ghostbloods appearances and pieces, and now I'm going, okay, so what does this... Knowing what I know about the Ghostbloods now, what does this mean? What does this look like?
If they are all about protecting protecting Scadrial, does that mean that what's going on Roshar threatens what's going on Scadrial? That's what I started to wonder from some of those interactions.
Ultimately, I need to go back, obviously, and do more reviews of some of this stuff, but... Ultimately, I'm wondering if Kelsier's drive is that he understands the shard setup, wants to protect Scadrial, his things there, but he wants to be one of those who brings the shards together and unites them. Like, that's because right now his body is literally pinned to his soul with a spike. There's no way for him to reconnect those things without doing that. So is his drive honest and like...
Or is it more selfish? Interesting.
Porque no los dos.
Yeah. But that's the thing is, in general, especially his discussion with Harmony in one of these seven epilogues, is it, that they have on there?
Something like that. Speaking of Tolkien,
too many epilogues.
Let's talk about endings.
It really was very Lord of the Rings-esque, or Return of the King-esque.
But that was that epilogue between Kelsier and Harmony and Sazed just having that conversation. It was just kind of, it was a new perspective on things to look at this and go, okay, you know, Kelsier's calling out Harmony. We're not surprised that Kelsier challenging a god or a shard at this point. Like, that's old news for him.
Yeah.
but his purpose behind it, the way he's talking about it, like kind of threatening Sazed a little bit, saying like, don't make me go against you type thing.
It like, sounds very familiar to some other characters that we've seen recently with trying to remember at the end of the Stormlight Archives where Taravangian switches bodies.
Okay, so spoiler alert for the Stormlight Archive.
Oh, sorry.
We told people.
We said spoiler alert for these. We didn't say for the...
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
And now you may go on.
Unfortunately, that was it. That just reminded me of that moment where we've got characters that are moving to position themselves to challenge for these divine powers.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's a whole new thing. And I knew we were going to, like I said, we're probably going to back into it at some point, but...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Cosmere implications of this book are very, very, very heavy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, especially with the introduction of autonomy, the explanation of Trell as being autonomy and how autonomy works and things like that. That's going to be a thick thread through every Cosmere piece that we, as you go back and review things, like where has autonomy been at work? What have they done? And, you know, what's already the problem there? Because that army that exists that was coming through the portal, that's not the first time that army's showed up. I would have no problem putting money down on the fact that army has been in some sort
of... Which army?
What? Mm. The red army and gold.
The men of red and gold. Yeah. Red and gold, they're coming through. Like, I'm sitting here going, thinking back, I'm like, wait a minute, what were the people in Elantris? Or what were we hear about, you know, back when the Voidbringer set up, like, why... There's a thread there that I'm like, Trell is going to be, and autonomy is going to be connected.
Yeah, we're really getting into some Cosmere stuff now, aren't we?
That's what I'm saying. The implications of this book are heavy. That being said, I'm going to take probably not a common view on this, that you don't need all to know the Cosmere stuff to follow the story in this book.
I'm going to...
I think most people who have Cosmere knowledge will disagree because of how big of the picture is that's painted of Cosmere stuff and the fact they're always talking about Cosmere things. But as I thought through the whole storyline and said, is there anything that I absolutely had to understand that was not explained inside of these pages? And there wasn't anything that I felt absolutely had to be explained that wasn't inside the Mistborn stories already.
Okay. Let me put it to you this way. Can you follow the storyline? Can you understand who characters are and you know what they're doing page by page? Sure, yes. But without a knowledge of the Cosmere, this is a much weaker book than it is perceived to be with knowledge of the Cosmere.
Okay.
I can agree to that. That's a fair
point. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And so, and this is, well, it was actually a question somebody asked, Atrocity 24. Do you feel like the setup for Era 3 detracted from the ending of Era 2?
Yes.
How did you like the very explicit tie-ins from the greater Cosmere? So we got a few of these questions in there. And I'm excited about it. On a macro scale, like on a Cosmere scale, this is cool to get all this information and, you know, set up some huge storylines to come. Like, that's all fun. But it did leave me feeling like this book wasn't as strong on its own as I would have liked for it to be. And there was a lot of that. There were a lot of things that I felt like it wasn't just the ending. Where we kind of got a lot of that in the epilogues and whatnot, a lot of Cosmere info dumping. And yeah, that happened throughout the story as well. But even in Mistborn terms, not just Cosmere terms, but just in Scadrial terms, the whole first act, we get the political stuff, the maneuvering that mm-hmm. Wax is trying to do with Steris's help. We get the conversation with the Malwish captain on the airship. All the stuff about potential civil war within the basin and you know, war with the Malwish and all this stuff. It's just, it's the whole first act seems to revolve around this stuff, and then it just disappears. Goes away.
Yes.
Yep. And it frustrates me to no end. And I get that he's setting up future books and all that stuff, but on a you know, that's again the macro scale. On the micro scale, I want this book to be a book and not just a chapter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that.
So I was frustrated by some of those things, while at the same time being excited by them as well. I don't know. I'm a bundle of contradictions.
It left me a little bit disappointed in that sense too. Mistborn Era 1, I felt like at the end of book 3, it wrapped up and it was done. And it was complete. The end of this book, I felt like there were a ton of questions, a ton of unfollowed threads that I wanted to know answers to, and I feel like I'm never going to get them because we're just going to go off to Era 3, unless, you know, there are some novellas that come out or something to that effect, which I'm not discounting because the guy writes novels for, you know, writing practice, but until that time, I feel unfulfilled. I feel unsatisfied.
Ideally, you want to finish your story inside of the framework of the story that you've built. You don't want to have to necessarily resolve it in extended materials.
Yep.
You know, I feel as a Star Wars fan, I understand this.
Yeah, really.
The other thing, let me just quickly point this out, Todd. Because you were about to say something.
I was about to say something.
But to make sure that I finish my point, I should say it's not just about I want this book to be good. It was kind of about Era 2 as a whole.
Sure.
Where now the last book that's supposed to give us what Ken's talking about, that satisfying, really, really crisp, nice ending, instead gets used as a launch pad for something else.
Yeah.
Which, again, hopefully it's all cool and, you know, a lot of fun to read moving forward. But it's also, it makes this Era 2 more difficult now to recommend to somebody and say like, oh, you're going to love Era 2. Mm-hmm. I will sooner recommend Era 1 to like a newer Sanderson reader, not just for the Cosmere implications, but because it's like, no, you're going to get a satisfying book followed by a satisfying book followed by a satisfying book with a really nice wrapped up ending. Mm-hmm. And in this one, I can't do that.
Well, and if we're looking at it, and you know, Ryan mentioned the Star Wars connection, heaven forbid we ever invoke The Empire Strikes Back. One of the films in that first original trilogy that a lot of people said, no, wait a minute, it just leaves everybody hanging in the middle of nowhere with all of these unresolved pieces. That's kind of what's happening here with Era 2. I recognize the contention of wanting to have parts of this story tidied up. And while I leave the possibility for those to be tidied up in lots of different ways, I was completely okay with them being left alone because the story that was being told, at least for me, was not Scadrial Era 2. It was the role that is played by Allomancers within this larger framework. What is it about them that is special? Mm. Here we see a supreme use of allomantic power and how it can be used in these kinds of situations to save the planet from itself. Much the same way that we saw in the end of Hero of Ages. We saw supreme use of allomantic powers in a method that sets up the saving of the planet. Yes, in that particular case, it saves the planet and remakes it. In this particular case, it saves the planet and gives them an opportunity to say, hey, we don't have to create weapons of mass destruction to kill each other and have civil war. Whether they're going to do that or not, we don't know.
They are.
It's a story with conflict. But it skipped, you know, we skipped 300 years to get to this second era. Why not skip 300 years and say, after the civil war that that just about destroys everything. They come to a place where they can agree on how to use investiture more wisely, and now we're at the place of spaceflight, and they're starting to experiment with that. I could accept all of that because I was thinking about it in much bigger terms to begin with.
We're not going to take 300 years.
No, it won't be.
With the conversation that Kelsier had with Seiza at the end of this book.
Oh, it's going to be quick.
He's going to pressure Seiza into giving them what he wants now.
Yeah.
So I was actually thinking about this, you know, maybe some predictions, Ken, for... I know how you love the predictions, right?
I do. I'm usually wrong at them, but I love them.
Predictions for Era 3.
Have we ever gotten any... Did we ever get anything right in that first series?
Oh, and in Dresden Files, yes.
In Dresden Files, we did.
No, I was going to say the prediction... my prediction will actually be that Wax is still a character. That, you know, it'll be very much a passing of the torch. I think he'll be maybe an old man after a few decades, but we're not going 300 years. So he'll be maybe in like an advisory capacity or something.
Maybe he'll become the new Death.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's, but Era 3 is supposed to be set in some kind of 80s type.
Well, the thing is, we're kind of all, we got there. We got the way that this was all originally pitched to us, and by us, I mean the fans, you know, years and years ago, was, okay, you're going to have your pre-modern, and that was Era 1, and then Era 2, we're doing the, what do we call this?
The frontier, the Wild West.
Yeah, what's
steampunk?
Steampunk, that's what I was looking for. Yeah. And then, like you said, we're going to move to the 80s, kind of just starting out on space travel, and then far future type stuff. But the thing is, by the time we get done with this book, or halfway through this book, we're zipping around in cars and elevated light rail, and like the technology that that
is familiar
comes about in this book.
Yeah,
is we're well past Alloy of Law.
Well,
at this point.
In this era, things move very fast between Alloy of Law and here. Yeah, like you were saying. My other prediction, though, in saying that about the 80s is also what else happened in the 80s? In our 80s, it was the Cold War, so who's to say that maybe the Ellendale Basin and the Southern, the Malwish or something, aren't both working on ways to split Harmonium, and now we have some sort of mutually assured destruction situation where they both have Harmonium bombs pointed toward each other, you know.
But the Malwish love their children, too.
So, yeah, exactly.
I think we're tied too much into the specific decade of the 80s.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
You didn't like that reference?
No, you're fine.
That was a great reference, by the way.
The fact is, the whole Mistborn series, the big drive for Brannon, it was that he would be able to write a story where the magic system was affected by the progression of time and technology.
Yeah.
To give us...
And vice versa.
Yeah. And to give us a timeline to say, here's kind of that direction. But I think we're here sitting here going, well, it took, you know, we were in that era here and then the 80s. So that means that this, like, no, it's, I think Craig's point of technologically, we have advanced far enough that
we have airships Kelsier's asking about space travel.
And ballistic missiles when they were talking about the fact that Trell had given them just enough information. They'd almost worked out the calculations for ballistic missiles.
Yeah, they're making rockets.
This is I can see the connection close enough.
I'm just saying, I could see
20 years, 30 years.
We're going to get, Harmonium bombs are scary, but you get an invested honor blade launched at you from something like that, you know.
That's
there's the
shard bombs.
There's the YouTube fan cartoon we never knew we needed.
Nightblood being launched on a rocket, just coming.
As those
shoot me faster,
Those swords weren't phallic enough already. Let's strap them to a Bezos rocket, launch them into space.
Could you push Nightblood with an alnomantic push?
So anyway, let's go ahead and get back to our Discord questions. My gosh. We are awful at podcasting. And you know what? That's part of the charm, okay? It's part of the charm.
Is that what they call it?
We're like a three-legged puppy.
Named Lucky.
Oh, that's funny. We already addressed this, but I do want to point out how Hurin Fan phrased this question. Did the death of the most annoying character and long post-death send-off annoy you or redeem him?
I see how Hurin feels about it.
Exactly.
Wayne is a polarizing figure. I mean, if you look at comments on social media spots.
I mean, he's
polarizing in this room, probably.
I'll never let go of how stupid it was, Wax and Wayne. Like, just sorry, man. I never bought into it.
I loved it.
Nope.
Right from the get-go, I loved it.
Hard pass.
Loved it.
It's so cute.
It's too cute by half. Yeah. I like it. I will respect your prerogative to not like it.
This is not like a hill I'm dying on or something. I just think it's stupid. That's all.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Jafu asked, I guess this is a question for me. You might not want to talk about it, but was this the first book you did the beta read for? And if so, I'm curious seeing the sausage made affected your final experience.
Oh yeah.
That was for me. I did beta read this book, last year or whenever it was. And how did it affect my experience? Well, one thing I am not going to do is tell you guys about this or that change that was made or wasn't made. So don't ask. It's not happening. I'm talking to you guys, but I'm talking to all the people on Discord. So
sure.
I'm not going to go into all that stuff. But it was interesting. It was, I guess I'm used to finishing a book and then just delivering my thoughts, not necessarily on the fly, but you know, usually I finish pretty close to recording time. And I did that this time. I finished the book today for the first and a half time, so to speak, right? So I had already read this a year ago, and so I had time to sit with certain aspects of the story,
sure,
that might have otherwise been a little bit more shocking or whatever, and time for some of my opinions, like about how I just thought the whole first act was kind of a waste of time. That opinion had time to sit and solidify within me. And so when I came to it this time, I was like, oh, maybe my opinion will have changed in the intervening time. And it just didn't, you know? So I don't know. It's not a satisfying answer. I'm sorry. Cause I can't go into the specifics. But it was definitely interesting to see the sausage get made a little bit. I mean, it's not like the betas have, you know,
a ton of, that's great. You didn't see the outline and then all the changes to the outline and
So anyway, I'll just move on past that. Okay. Where are we at? Okay. Spook underscore asks, how do you think the gloves off nature Sanderson took with this book when it comes to incorporating wider and more explicit Cosmere elements into the book will affect Stormlight 5, despite occurring earlier in the timeline? Also, what do you think about the general attitude difference between the Scadrial Ghostbloods and the Roshar Ghostbloods? Okay, so, but the gloves off nature, that is a phrase directly from Brandon. He mentioned that. I know he said it at the signing, the book release. He might have said it elsewhere also, that with the Lost Metal, he's like, he just said the gloves are coming off and we're doing the Cosmere now.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead, Todd.
Hearing that, I remember when the scene where Marcy and the Chondra, that was supposed to be Wayne's romantic interest. And they were talking about, so how do you get around to other worlds? And they started going in, well, there's the Shadow Realm, and we have these points of being able to get into and out of the different realms. And as I'm reading that, I'm like, okay, so we had to fight to get all of that information in the Stormlight Archive. But here we're just going to be handed it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, do I, am I frustrated with it? No. Do I feel that that means that people that come along to the Stormlight Archives later and come across those pieces that took a long time to set up and a long time to put into place are going to feel like, no, just move on. I know this. Move on. There's no mystery. Move on. I feel a little sad for them. Because I feel like, and will it happen? Probably. Will it happen a lot? Who knows? Will anybody care? Probably not. But for me, as I was reading that, I was thinking, okay, that's a great recap for me. But if somebody gets this before they get the other, that could steal some real fun exploration and some neat discoveries that were made along the way in the Stormlight Archives.
Yeah. I'll tell you, so let me reread the question here a little bit. How does the gloves off nature with this book when it comes to incorporating Cosmere elements will affect Stormlight 5? I'm nervous now, actually, because of what I was saying earlier, where instead of getting what I feel like would have been a real ending for Era 2, we got a springboard for Era 3 instead. Mm-hmm. I'm nervous now because this has been the thing I've been talking about with Stormlight for a while is if he sticks the landing on book 5, this is, you know, like, then it jumps over Mistborn for me. Then it becomes, a true magnum opus. But he has to stick that ending. And now I'm nervous that we're going to get to book 5 where he has said, yeah, I'm going to wrap up this storyline. And yeah, you're going to get a contained story within 5 books. Maybe. I hope so. I really, really hope so. But now with this one, I'm wondering, well, shoot, is every series just another chance to blow out the Cosmere even more, make it bigger, make it grander, make it more complex,
and have really good end credits,
right?
Scenes,
right? So, yeah, something like that. So I don't know. Like I said, it's too early to tell, but I am nervous. I don't know, Ryan. You're kind of shaking your head as I say this.
No, I understand the nerves based on kind of the way this one went through, but I'm not worried the way that you are with Stormlight 5. I think Stormlight 5 is going to be, the events of this book will have little to no impact on the events of Stormlight 5.
You think it'll have characters?
I think we will have, these events will explain one or two things. Like I haven't spent much time in this, but like, the idea of, did the Skadrians, or were they the ones that have, like, spoiler alert, jump ahead 15, 20 seconds, whatever, here it is. You know, were the Skadrians the ones that came to Roshar? Like, was that, okay, so if we learn that that's the case, there's where this is how they got there. Congratulations, that's how we affected Stormlight from this point. If we start getting shard deals, that's where I'm like, okay, that could be a bigger thing. But Stormlight 5 shard deal is Odium and... Yes. The Shattering, like the Children of Honor, like that storyline is what Stormlight 5 is going to wrap up there. The question is, how much do we go on beyond that point? We know the next 5 ones are a little bit further down, but we still have characters from the first series. Yasna's carrying over into the next series. We know some of those things are happening. So I am not worried about... I'm not worried about him landing Stormlight 5 because I think Stormlight 5 is an anchor point in all of his writing that he has had figured out for a while now. And I think that he doesn't need to use that as a springboard to other things to get people excited. He needs to close out Act 1 of the Cosmere storyline. Oh,
dear Lord, let this not be just Act 1.
I think it's Act 1 of the... And then the second half of Stormlight will follow Act 2. And then the Dragonsteel series will wrap us up into Act 3. Call it good.
He's not an old man, but dude, Brandon, did you bite off more than you could chew when you were 20? this is getting a bit.
I think there's a reason he's been bringing other authors in to help him write books.
Other books.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you guys have anything else you wanted to talk about before I bring up any other Discord comments? You know, maybe something about, I don't know, the book or the story or the characters.
Alimentic grenades.
Is this, do you have something to say other than cool?
At least Marcy's power is now useful.
They were pretty cool. The idea of finally finding a way for useless powers to turn out useful. Mm. I remember hearing Brandon say, I think at the first FanX that we all went to, when he said the most interesting thing about a magic system isn't what it can do, it's what it can't do. What are the limitations? And in this particular case, not only do we get an opportunity to go beyond some of the limitations, but build some new ones in. And I got a kick out of those, out of the way that alimentic grenades were used. And that was kind of a satisfying twist.
There's a lot of science in this book in regards to those things that I don't get enmeshed in them and enjoy them the same way that others do. But the fact, like, they're sitting
others
here, like,
meaning
Todd. But things like that, where you're talking like, this is a really cool concept here, but then they go into explaining how that it's their power, their powers are being put into some of the metal from harmonium, like this, and they're actually like explaining out the hard magic portions of it, like, this is how this works. And I got to a point where I was like, I don't want to keep track of this. I get the how the grenade works. I'm good. I don't need to understand that. I understand for long-term investiture, under how, you know, how we move investiture from one place to another, and how all these other things happen, is that this matters. I don't want to deal with that right now.
I think this is where a lot of people are with a lot of the Cosmere stuff generally. And this is why I say it may kind of make this a weaker book, because there's so much of that in this book.
Yeah, that's where I was in Stormlight 4.
Yeah, oh my great gosh. Example.
My parts 3 and 4, my eyes just started to glaze over. I'm like, oh.
And I am getting really excited about the idea of hard science fiction combined with allomancy. I'm thinking that I'm going to be in a happy place for a little while.
No, it's I think it's really cool stuff. It's fun. It's interesting to read. I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody who isn't a lore hound, so to speak, or, you know, a Cosmere knot or whatever we're
called. Cosmere knot. Like that. I want that on my flight suit. Thank you very much.
So if somebody came to me and said there were too much Cosmere stuff, and, you know, there were whole pages and paragraphs and chapters that had stuff I didn't care about, I'd be like, yeah, it's fair.
I get it.
Totally fair.
We didn't even talk about the crossover elements in the Ghostbloods, like Moonlight.
In the Ghostbloods, we got new stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. The comment from Modern Water Rider is Aethers.
Yep. Yes.
That was the whole comment.
Yes.
So. Yeah. It was like, oh, hey, here's some, when you're dealing with so much of the Cosmere other elements, you're like, oh, I can connect this dot to here and this dot to here.
Yep.
And
here's a brand new dot. Like, oh, yeah.
This is new and shiny and cool, and I don't know much about this, because I immediately, like, I finished the book and I was getting on 17th Shard, and I'm like, okay, am I supposed to know who this guy is and what he can do? No? Oh, it was new, and it was perfect. I'm so excited. I love the rose quartz type.
Yeah.
The growth of him building the giant suit and everything. I'm like,
oh, that was pretty cool.
And then it got me thinking about the Parshendi and how they grow their carapace. Is there a connection? No, maybe. I don't know.
But shard plate.
It got me thinking of Rose Quartz Golem versus Thunderclast. Let's go. Oh, yeah. Arena, baby.
Yeah.
That could be cool. Yeah.
Does that stuff invalidate this almost as a Mistborn book? Because suddenly, like, what if I'm a Mistborn fan? You know, and I come to this series, you know, this year or in 5 years or 10 years or whatever, and I get done with Vin and Ellen, and then I move on. I'm like, oh, there's an Era 2. I read Secret History and I go on to Era 2. And now suddenly this guy shows up with powers that I've never seen before and have never been explained to me and are not going to be explained to me. And, you know, same with the other characters, where now I'm like, well, hang on. I had all this other stuff I was already keeping track of. I feel like I'm getting really complainy, and I don't necessarily feel that way. But
I see where you're coming from. And I think that's part of the joy and part of the frustration of reading a series that is still growing.
Yeah.
You know, when most of us had started into the fantasy realm and started reading fantasy books, the books that we were reading were finished. The series were finished. And so you kind of had an idea of where that, you had a map of where it was going to go. What we get is, trust me, the journey's worth it. Just get to Albuquerque and it'll be fine. We'll take a right turn. I promise it'll be all right. We're like, okay, well, let's keep going to Albuquerque. Let's see what happens. And for those of you who don't know that, go watch a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
I see. And I was going to go with the Weird Al.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, but I think that's one of the cool parts about being alive, about growing with this series when it goes. You gotta make the decision. Are you gonna just take the, you're gonna run with it, or are you gonna, you know, have it be something that throws you off and you say, no, I'm done?
I don't think it's a problem, to your point there, simply because in the first Mistborn era, every book gave us a new element of magic. It's a different take on that. We had Allomancy in the first, and then we got Ferrucamy, and then we got Hemalurgy.
Yeah.
This, in era two, the first thing we got was this change, and here was like, okay, yeah, we don't have Allomancers the same way. They're twinborns, or they're different.
We got twinborn, and it's awesome.
We've got this different setup here, and we never really grew that. The magic system didn't grow itself. It was affected, and we learned how it was used differently, but it didn't grow in the same way our discovery did in the first one. In my mind, seeing these other characters who have different powers would be like, oh, there's other powers out there, and that would be the extent of how far I would.
Okay.
Like,
I get it.
I feel like it would either make you go, oh, there's more out there I can go discover, but I don't think it would necessarily have someone go, oh, well, now I'm never going to know these because I refuse to read anything else. I just don't see that being the case.
If somebody asked me, you know, whether I recommend these books, or, you know, if I got to give somebody context before they started reading, you know, Sanderson generally, or Mistborn specifically, you know, I would heartily recommend Era One and say, yes, read them. They're wonderful. What an ending. Rah, rah, rah. That's great. And then when you get to Era Two, here's how to think of it. Era Two is a trilogy followed by a glimpse into the Cosmere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're uninitiated, okay, then it's a glimpse. This is it. As I was thinking about it, yeah, we do have a little bit of good character development for Wayne, but that's about it. You know, Marcy had her character development earlier. Wax is psychologically, at least, completely left behind by this book. He's, you know, he is who he is. And
mm-hmm. Steris, we got a little bit more.
We get a little bit. Yeah, okay, that's fair. But anyway, but my point just being that now, as we think about the Bands of Mourning, that was your ending.
Yeah.
That's your Era 2 ending. And so, you know, again, is this such a bad thing? No, not necessarily, but it might throw off future generations who are trying to read this, maybe, where they're like, oh, it's a 4-book series. No, it's a 3-book series with a giant Cosmere epilogue thrown at you, or, you know, something along those lines.
I can see that.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think this does push it. If you, every now and then, when someone's like, oh, you're a Sanderson fan or whatever. Yeah. We have a conversation where we ask, if you can only read one of his series, what would you read? And it's Stormlight Archive. It hasn't finished everything, but it's that. But you could make a strong contention for Mistborn, like the Mistborn series, running through that. This one kind of knocks it out for me,
right,
a little bit in that sense, where I'm like, I don't know that I could do that. Like, you would still be able to get the whole story, but you would definitely know there's more out there than by the time you were finished.
Yeah. I'd see that.
Ken, any thoughts, feelings as we start to wrap up this discussion?
I wrote down one comment from one, I think it was when they were in the lab, and he mentioned something about harmonium or something being liquid like mercury. And I went, mercury. So does that mean that our solar system is in the Cosmere? That would be fun. I don't know if that's true or not. They have metals, you know, like, or elements like we have elements in life. I get that, but I still went
asking the important questions.
But I still went, that would be cool if the Sol system was in.
Was in the Cosmere.
Was in the Cosmere.
The Sol, is that what we're calling ours?
Isn't that what it's typically called in?
It's what it's called in science fiction.
I mean,
and in a lot of science fiction.
Yeah,
I'm so proud of you, Ken.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, well done.
So I just thought, how fun would that be if you're just like, here's these mundane people who don't have any powers or any connection or any investiture, and suddenly they have to, you know.
I do want to say, I remember I made a note in here that to bring up when we went and when it was time to talk about this, but I didn't remember what it was, and I found my note here. Sanderson writes a tribute to Terry Pratchett in this book.
Mm. Oh, was it the one about, okay, let me see if I got this. Because I maybe caught the same thing. When Wayne dies and then is looking down on Scadrial from above and having his conversation with Sazed, he says something along the lines of, oh, man, it's a sphere, just like everyone said. I was really hoping it would be flat, like a donut or something. And that, in my mind, made me chuckle because I thought it was a reference to Discworld.
That is not the one I picked out.
Okay.
But I could see that one. This one, they're talking to the journalist woman, Mariga. She said, I did my journeymanship at the Times, top paper in the city, totally respectable. The amount they fudged, slanted, or outright fabricated would scandalize you. At least I'm honest about it. Besides, I don't print lies. I print human interest stories, the tales of people who are ignored by the larger media, exciting stories by adventuring celebrities, cartoons, pictures of funny shaped vegetables.
Yes.
If you have ever read Terry Pratchett's The Truth, that is a reference straight from that book.
That's so good.
That's
so good.
I was like, that's a little homage to Terry Pratchett hidden in there.
I wish
that's
I knew awesome. Which episode number that was when Brandon came on the show and did The Truth with us. So people can go check that out. You search it, whatever, on iTunes. Todd, final thoughts? How do you feel about the book overall? Did you have a good time with it?
I had a good time with the book. No one will be surprised that tears were shed. No one will be surprised that I found lots of level 2 and level 3 stuff in this book. I think it was... Sorry, I didn't mean to make you twitch that badly on that one. Yeah. I was most satisfied, though, watching Wayne use his other power in the scene where they go into the apartment for the guy who was missing.
Mm.
And they walk in and they were saying, well, there's nothing here. And he said, everything is here. All I need is something that I can hold on to and I can figure out who this person is. And getting that insight into Wayne where he says, no, you just need to understand a person to know where they're going to be at. And then he goes through and he says, you know, this is all set up. What we really need to be thinking about is this. This guy wouldn't worry about making everything clean. He didn't worry about clean. He worried about getting the truth out. He's not going to hide it anywhere. He's going to give it to somebody. I mean, all of these little things that in many ways feel like kind of like Sherlock Holmes when he says, no, you have to look around. It's elementary, my dear Watson. All you have to do is deduce from all of the things that are around us. But Wayne does it by trying to understand people. And I think that was, for me, that was the thing that made, I'm not crying. That was the thing that made Wayne's death so powerful for me, was that of all of the characters, all of these characters are running around concerned with everybody else. Wayne's real power was understanding people. And I loved that.
You know, that's fair. I found Wayne annoying, not to the extent that I find Lyft annoying. She is the worst.
Yeah.
Ryan is
breaks my heart.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
So no, but
we'll get him later.
I found Wayne annoying, but I think that's a really good point. who hurt me? you did. You're our Wayne.
Way a long time ago.
But I was affected by his story, and I wonder, Todd, if that's a big part of it, is that he was, annoying though he may have been, and that's, I mean, the other characters talk about that all the time, right? He is annoying. He's still somehow the glue for the group, so, or at least he was.
At least he was.
Yeah. Ryan, final thoughts, feelings, tears, slaps in my general direction?
It's, you've already kind of touched on that. I look at these series and I don't think it was intentional at first, but it might have been by the end. I feel like each of the books in here was given to a character to develop. You hit this point earlier that Maris is Alloy of Law, Wax is kind of the Shadows of Self a little bit. Steris gets a little bit more in Bands of Mourning, and Wax still there. But this was Wayne's chance to shine. Mm-hmm. For as much as we've talked about and beaten the poor dead horse about Cosmere Effect on this, as much as we dealt with that, I still loved how this book wrapped up the storylines of its four characters. Mm-hmm. The storylines of the four characters, I think everyone finished out exactly where they needed to be to give us a satisfying end for each of the four of them.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I like it.
I like that.
Well said.
So let me finish up with a last question for you guys, which is about the title of this book. Why is it called The Lost Metal? And what is The Lost Metal? I have my answer for you, but I'm curious what you guys think about this. Ken?
Well, I assumed it was Trellium at first. I mean, but because nobody could figure out what it was, and not even Harmony knew what it was. And I'm guessing that Trellium is some metallic aspect of autonomy that shards can't read other shards, that sort of thing. So I'm guessing it's some part of the body of autonomy.
Okay. Ryan, Todd, what do you think?
You go first.
Because
he knows the answer.
I was going through the Ars Arcanum at the end of the book and thinking it's not lost in there, it's lost to it's lost to the characters on Scadrial. And I want to see if I can remember that Says said someplace, you haven't found that metal yet, or you haven't discovered that, or it's been lost to you. And I can't remember what it was, but I remembered saying to myself, oh, and it was toward the end, and it was after they were talking about how to nullify, but maybe I'm not remembering it very well. So anyway,
Ryan, you look like you're furiously looking stuff up.
I was trying to remember, make sure get the name back on there. If I had to connect dots and make the title work on this, it would be Laracium.
That's exactly ding, ding,
that's ding. The one.
Yep, yeah, that's what
and
I'm that's, going for.
After I gave my answer, I was like, oh no, I know what it is. And
they've been at some point. Kelsier wants Laracium, and the fact that Harmony is keeping it from him is a big point. But the idea being that we've now figured out how we can make Allomancers again, if someone else goes through the notes and figures out here like this, that will come back.
And they will.
At some point we'll have a Mistborn assemble and everyone will pop a Laracium bead and we'll have a whole thing going
Kelsier's
on.
Kelsier's been itching to get his hands on more Mistborns. Mistborn. Yeah.
The day that a Laracium bead is swallowed by Shallan and everything just explodes, like,
wow. How you doing, Todd? You okay?
Of all the people we want to have swallowing Laracium.
I'm just saying, like, that's
now if I as I was getting to the end of this book this time around and asking myself that question, what is the lost metal, it occurred to me that as frustrated as I am with, you know, the stuff I've been talking about, that this is a Cosmere book more than a Mistborn book, it feels like. It frustrates me a little bit. But if I had my druthers, the thing that would have excited me and does excite me is Laracium, the return of Laracium. So for those who are confused, this is the metal that makes Mistborn, that gives them all the powers, access to all the metals. Because it was interesting in Era 2 to leave Mistborn behind and just deal with, you know, a few powers here and there. I thought it was a really cool device that he had come up with for, you know, making the magic system have to do different things. But I would be thrilled that this lost metal has now been refound, recovered, whatever. Anyway, so I'm into it.
Yeah.
Like, if you had jettisoned all the other Cosmere stuff and, you know, done what I wanted and make it a little more standalone that way, then that would be the thing. That's the epilogue moment that I want. Like, they actually did figure it out. Oh, what's going to happen in year three? Like, that's, I'm pretty stoked about that. So, all right, guys. Ryan, you look like you got something else. Is there anything else?
I'm going down a Larassium rabbit hole at the moment. Oh. So
should we
never going to find him again. He's going to be gone for a couple of days.
One last thing for me. I will be interested to see how the continuing prevalence of aluminum affects Era 3 and other aspects of the Cosmere 2, because aluminum is the great cosmic equalizer.
I was thinking about this earlier today. I was listening to Words of Radiance. That's where I am right now. And they have this magic metal that goes on the side of the shard blades. And we're like, oh, it's aluminum.
It's aluminum.
Aluminum. Brandon just has, he's invested money in aluminum and he's trying to drive that metal up. So,
the aluminum hats that all of us are going to be wearing by the time when things are over.
An executive at Reynolds Wrap.
There you go.
People were selling aluminum inserts for hats at the Sanderson convention. So, you guys think we'll still be podcasting this time next year? Should people come out to the next Sanderson Con? Come say hi. I hope they do.
Totally.
Yeah. Next year it won't be we're skipping a year. We're taking an extra year before we get Stormlight 5. It was supposed to come out next year. It's not. It'll be something else. But anyway,
we'll entertain ourselves with something along the way.
People should come say hi. So, all right, guys. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for recording. And I guess thanks for listening. What a meandering discussion this was. But you know what? That's what you signed up for when you pressed play. I don't know. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Go to thelegendarium.com. Go check us out. If you're wondering what episode number all of the previous Mistborn episodes were, that's where you're going to find it. You're going to go to thelegendarium.com, check it out by author and by series. And it'll tell you which episode numbers to look for on your podcast app. Because let's be honest, nobody goes to the website to listen to the episodes. That would be crazy. Patreon, Discord, all that stuff. And thanks to everybody who submitted questions. I know I didn't say everybody's name, but a lot of your questions were what drove the discussion. So I really do appreciate that. And with that, I will see you next time.
Medicine's amazing these days.
Yeah, but this isn't medicine. This is major reconstructive surgery and
stuff. I had my ankle reconstructed after a break. You'll be fine.
We'll see. No.
Oh, yeah. You'll be fine in 6 weeks.
So anyway.
This is what...
Poor your joints.
This is what you talk about when you get older.
Took 8 months.
So, cold weather really doing a number on you guys?
Yes.
No.
On my ankle.
Cold still doesn't bother me. Anyway.
Oh, God.
The day will come.
Get out. Did you finally catch it?
No, I ignored it earlier on purpose. So.
All right. Make us a podcast. Here we go.